Ever feel like planning a trip is almost as fun as taking it? Hotel comparisons, restaurant reservations, a perfectly timed itinerary. What if your love of planning travel could actually become a source of income? As a Fora advisor, it can. Fora is a modern travel agency built for people who love to plan travel and help others travel well. With best-in-class training, powerful booking tech, and a vibrant global community of experts sharing real insider knowledge, you can confidently build your own travel business on your terms, from anywhere. Every hotel, cruise, and experience you book earns you commission. And with access to more than 7,000 preferred travel partners from iconic brands to boutique gems, you'll unlock VIP perks like upgrades, resort credits, and late checkout. The kind of elevated travel experiences most travelers never get. Now's the time to turn your passion for travel into a fulfilling business with Fora. Become a Fora advisor today at foratravel.com/advisor. That's foratravel.com/advisor.
It's the dictionary.
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 Hi, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer, and this is episode F181. Have I told you about my cat? My cat, Audrey, I don't remember if I mentioned this. We had a short little cat tree for her. And then recently she started to get up on the shelves of the shelving unit in the living room. And she puked on one of the shelves. And it's kind of vintage. And we were very, very angry at this cat. No, 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 you can't be doing this. We were trying to shush her off those shelves so long. And then we said, well, cats like to be high. So we got her some catnip. No, we already had some catnip. No, we got her a taller cat tree because the one we had was so short. And I put this thing together. I may have mentioned this. I don't remember who I've told. And she loves it. Finally, after 3 days. 3 days of being like, I don't like the smell of this thing. I don't like the looks of it. Finally, she's like, this is my stuff. This is my shit. I like being way up there. It's taller than me. Let's talk about the words. I literally may have said all of that in the previous episode, and I forgot. I am so forgetful, which is the first word. Adjective from the 14th century. Number one, likely to forget. I am likely to forget. I am filling my brain with so many things that so many of those things just go away. They just go away. Number two, characterized by negligent failure to remember. The synonym is neglectful. Negligent failure to remember. So it's like it's your own fault. You're being negligent when you are being forgetful sometimes because you are not putting the effort into remembering the thing. That makes me feel bad. Number three, inducing oblivion. How? What? This has got to be an album name or a song name or something. Maybe not a band name. Don't know if I love it as a band name. Inducing oblivion. The example is forgetful sleep. I'm still trying to process inducing oblivion. This thing, this sleep, it is forgetful because it induces oblivion. It brings on nothingness. Is this only a definition for this example? Forgetful sleep. What is forgetful sleep, though? Is it where you just forgot your dreams? I don't even understand what this means. Inducing oblivion. I need some forgetful sleep. I got to get into the oblivion. Give me oblivion. Forgetfully is an adverb and forgetfulness is a noun, and my sound effect is going to be something I don't know. It's not connected to anything in this episode. It's going to be oh, the mouth feels so good when you make weird sounds like that. Now we have forgetive. Now it looks like forgetive, but it is officially pronounced forgetive. It is an adjective from 1597. It is archaic. And the synonyms are inventive and imaginative. Now, did we have something Well, we had forgery in the previous episode, which was about invention, kind of, creating something. But forgative used to mean inventive and imaginative. This is so interesting. Because, here we go, it makes sense. Because, oh, it's forgative. I think I said forgative, because forget has that hard G, but this is forgative, because it's from the word forge, of course. Forge plus tive, as in inventive, adjective, right? I'm feeling very forgative today. What am I going to invent? I'm going to make some very, very fun things, because I'm feeling forgative. This is one of those words that if the Generation Alpha, if they start using this, it's like a full circle. It's going to be an old word that the young people are bringing back. Don't know what I did before. Now we have forget-me-not, three words with hyphens, noun from 1532. This is any of a genus of small herbs of the borage family, having usually bright blue or white flowers, usually arranged in a curving spike. Well, there is a picture of forgetfulness, me nots. It's not in color, so we don't get to see the blue and the white, which is very sad. But it does show that the stems, they branch off into arcs, a curving spike. It curves this way and curves this way. And there are flowers, and I assume that they are white and blue. And maybe I should post a picture of a forget-me-not. The genus name is Myosotis, and it's odd that there is no etymology. So I do not know why they call these plants small herbs forget-me-nots. Are these some that they'll put into flower arrangements to make it all nice and pretty? Maybe kind of pastel-y, blues and whites? Forget-me-not. Forget-me-not. Forget-me-yes. Forget-me-no. Forget-me-sure. Next is forgettable. Adjective from 1845. Fit or likely to be forgotten. As in a forgettable movie. We've all seen them. Sometimes when I'm telling you about the movies that I'm watching, I come up to a title and I'm like, I have no idea what that movie is based on that title. At least the title was forgettable. But then I look into it, I'm like, oh yes, I remember it. But some things, they're just forgettable. Some people are forgettable, and I don't think that's good. I think that everybody should be remembered, be able to be remembered in some way. There's a song that is not forgettable. It is unforgettable in every way. Sometimes I feel forgettable. Don't feed me hay. All right, next movie. No, next word. Oh, the brain is forging. Noun from the 14th century. Number one, the art or process of forging. Metal, probably. Metal. Number two, a piece of forged work is a forging. Number three, the synonym is the number three definition for the word forgery, which was an act of forging. This is the crime, fraudulently altering a document. It's a forging. Moving on to, oh, here we go. We've got our phrase, forgive and forget. We already talked about forget, and now we're going to talk about forgive. Isn't it wonderful that these words are so close together in the dictionary? Forgive is a verb from before the 12th century, and we are starting with transitive number 1a. To give up resentment of, or claim to requital for. Wow, that was an odd phrase. As in, forgive an insult. You insulted me, but I forgive you for being so mean to me. When you said that I was blue and smelly, I was like, that's weird. And I know you're just trying to be mean because you're having a bad day, but I forgive you because I know you didn't mean it, because I know that I'm not blue. To give up resentment of, so I had resentment temporarily because you said I'm blue and stinky, but I have given it up. I have been the bigger person. Or claim to requital or requital for. And that one is a little bit of a harder phrase to understand, so we're just going to stick with the first one. Now we have 1B for forgive. To grant relief from payment of, as in, forgive a debt. Oh, this is big. Maybe there's a lot of school loan debt that could be forgiven by the government if they really, really wanted to, and they don't. But if somebody owes you something, maybe you don't need it. If you don't need it, maybe you can just forgive it. Be like, you know what? I don't need that dollar that you borrowed from me. I think it's okay. I think it's okay if I forgive this debt. You could use the dollar. So let's just forget the whole thing. Forget and forgive. Number two, to cease to feel resentment against, and who this would be against would be an offender. The offender did something, and you are not feeling resentment against that offender anymore. Now, this seems very similar to the first one. The synonym is pardon. Pardon me. Could I be forgived, please? I feel very bad for what I did, so can you forgive me? The example is forgive one's enemies. And maybe the enemies are insulting you about how blue you are. But they don't need to do that. Okay, those were all transitive, and intransitive is to grant forgiveness. How do you grant forgiveness? Are you the one then who is doing the forgiving? So to grant, it's obviously all very similar. The transitive and the intransitive, they're always very similar. But I am granting you forgiveness when I have removed your dollar debt. Anyway, a synonym is the word excuse. You are excused. You may go. You are forgived. Forgiven? Forgivable is an adjective. Forgivably is an adverb. And forgiver is a noun. And similar to forgetting, this is obviously a very, very important thing to do. Isn't it like one of the main things that when somebody has been the victim of a situation, maybe there was a murderer who murdered their brother, and that murderer is in jail. And so to the victim, people might say, have you forgiven them? Or they might volunteer, I have forgiven them. This is like a number one, one of the main things of being just a good person, of moving on, not holding on to that negativity, all that crap, is can you forgive? Can you forgive them? Forgetting is great. Forgetting is great too in those situations, but forgive is just the first thing. There's no more to say about that. No, there's not. Other than the etymology, which is from Old English forgifon, which is from the for prefix plus gifon, which means to give. So I do remember one of the for prefix definitions was all about completely, which we have seen come up a number of times. And so is it giving completely? You are giving something to them. What are you giving them? Are you giving them, if you forgive somebody, are you giving them some level of peace? But let's look for sure, because there was also this one. Involve prohibition, exclusion, omission, failure, neglect, or refusal. So what would be the opposite of forgive? If you're doing the opposite of giving, you are taking. But I don't know if that makes sense either. completely is probably the most. Forgive. Forgive. Okay, now I think I said all of those, so we are going to go. We now have the word forgiveness, which is a noun from before the 12th century. This is the act of forgiving. Let's do some forgiveness. Let us allow people to move on with their lives. We forgive you. You can go do you feel bad? Okay, good. As long as you feel bad, then that's great with me. Now we have forgiving. Adjective from 1623. Number one, willing or able to forgive. Some people, they don't feel forgiving. They're not ready to do it. They're like, you know what? I'm going to hold on to this for a little bit longer until I feel ready. Till I feel ready to do some forgiveness. And at that time, I will feel so forgiving. Number two, allowing room for error or weakness. As in, designed to be a forgiving tennis racket. Room for error or weakness. So maybe you just didn't hit the ball in the right spot of the tennis racket, but because it's forgiving, it's like, you know what? I'm going to hit it pretty good for you anyway. Don't you worry about it, because I'm such a forgiving racket. Forgivingly is an adverb, and forgivingness is a noun. Okay, moving on to forgo. You can spell it with or without the E in four. Forgo is a verb from before the 12th century, and it is only transitive. Number one, to give up the enjoyment or advantage of. Also, do without. I can do without that thing. I don't need it anymore. Let's forgo it. But it seems like mostly it has to do with giving up the enjoyment, or when you have something good, you have a good situation, then you are foregoing it for something else, or maybe you're foregoing it to give to somebody else. That would be great. But what if you have something that you are not enjoying? When you get rid of it, are you still foregoing it? Maybe not. But what does number two say? Number two is archaic, and the synonym is forsake, which I guess we will see that later. Oh, we got some good words coming up. Okay. So, foregoer is a noun. And have I foregoed anything? Forwent, that is a past form. Forgone, that's another past form. Forgo. I'm going to forgo all of the praise for this podcast. I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't want you to write a review. I will forego. Just go write a review for somebody else. Okay, thanks. So this is from Old English, foregone, which means to pass by or forego, which is from the for prefix plus gone, which means to go. Just to go completely. Get it out of here. I don't want it. I want to forego it. Blech. Get rid of it. Get rid of this knife. I'm going to forego this knife. Bye. Now we've got forgotten man. We went from forgo to forgotten man. Noun from 1925. What is the forgotten man? Is this a metaphorical thing? Is there a man who's forgotten? He's such a forgotten man. The world forgo him. We forgive him for what he did. This is a person or category of persons that receives less attention than is merited. They deserve a lot of attention, but they are not getting it. And so we're calling them a forgotten man. But how, if you are not getting the attention that you deserve, then how do people even know to call you a forgotten man or a forgotten person or just a forgotten? You have foregone all of your attention. Forgotten man. He's the man that nobody knows. He's the forgotten man. I don't know what I'm doing. This, now we have, for instance, two words, for instance. This is a noun from 1959. The synonym is example, as in, I'll give you a for instance. For instance, oh, I need some context. Let's have a, I don't know, I can't think of anything. For instance, here's a for instance for a forgotten man. Me? No. Okay, movie. Yeah, sometimes, for example, you can say for example, but instead you say for instance. In this specific instance that I am giving you, it is an example. It is a for instance. I don't know. Now we have forint. This is an interesting word. I have never seen this before. Aha, I see why. F-O-R-I-N-T, forint, noun from 1946. It says just to go to the money table, see that money table, and talk about forints. I assume it is a foreign kind of money. A foreign forint. Oop, I had a little burp. The etymology just says hung, which I assume means Hungarian. Let's go to my bookmark here for the abbreviations. Yes, Hungarian, of course. So I don't know if this is a current money. Hungary is probably on the euro. So yeah, this is from 1946. So this is probably Hungarian's old money, the forint. And now, we are on our last word. We've got two forms. Do we have more forms in the next episode? Nope. But we have related words. So we got the word fork. Oh, why don't I have a fork here? Why do I have two knives? What happened? I'm like Freddy. Almost Freddy Krueger. Forks. I think there was something where there was a spoof of Freddy Krueger with forks instead of knives. I feel like I saw that at some point. If not, please draw me something. Okay, fork. First form of fork. This is a noun from before the 12th century. Number one, an implement with two or more prongs used especially for taking up, pitching, or digging. And the example of what you are taking up would be as in eating. This is typically how we are taking up things with forks. We are eating them. I remember some comedian many, many, many years ago doing a joke. I don't know if it's the most respectful, but it kind of stuck with me. He was talking about the difference between forks and chopsticks, and he was comparing a fork to like a big sort of like a rake kind of thing, or dealing with hay. You're gonna stick it with the big farm fork and move it over to the thing. But then he was like, well, but what if we were using chopsticks in farming? They would have giant chopsticks and try and move the hay around, and that wouldn't work so well. So it was just a funny observation about forks and chopsticks. I am, you know, since we're now talking about chopsticks and how we eat things, I'm okay with chopsticks. I can do like the big things, but boy, I'm impressed with the local people who grew up with chopsticks, who like that is how they eat everything. They're quite good. I think if they were to use a fork, they'd be like, what is this? Why are we doing? What are we doing with forks? Anyway, it's an implement. It's got two or more prongs. And I believe those prongs have specific names. Freddy and Johnny and Steve. So that is number one for fork. Number two is a forked part, tool, or piece of equipment. Just some piece of equipment that has prongs, I guess, is a fork. Number 3A. A division into branches or the place where something divides into branches. This seems like this is getting a little bit into whatever the etymology is for fork, which I don't know. But I think of, oh, you know, like a fork in the road. It is branching. It is dividing into branches. Which route are you going to take? The road less traveled? Are you going to be one of those people? A division into branches, or the place where something divides into branches? There was a fork in the road, and so I picked it up and I ate my spaghetti. I actually have leftover spaghetti for lunch today. We had vegan chicken parm and spaghetti last night. Oh, it was so tasty. 3B, the synonym is confluence. We're just gonna leave that there. Number four, one of the branches into which something forks. Why wouldn't that have been with number three? Why couldn't that be 3C? Why? Okay, so one of the branches, when the road forks, one of those branches is the fork. Oh, we took the left fork. Why'd you take the left fork? Because it smelled better. When Gandalf is trying to figure out which route to take in the Mines of Moria, he finally figures out the fork that he wants to take is the one that doesn't smell so bad. Number five, an attack by one chess piece, like a knight, on two pieces simultaneously. Wait a minute. How do knights do this? Is this a thing that's in chess? How did I not know about this? An attack by one chess piece on two pieces simultaneously. Wait a minute. I'm trying to figure out, how do you do this? How can one chess piece attack two pieces? Wait, we gotta look this up real quick. This seems odd. How can a knight attack two pieces in chess? We just had to write the whole thing out. A knight in chess can attack two pieces. It's called a knight fork. A knight fork. They're very common. Since knights do not move in a straight direction, a knight's fork trick often comes as a surprise. But, what does the AI have to say? Position itself on a square that allows it to attack two different squares where enemy pieces are located. This is often referred to as a fork or a double attack. The knight's unique L-shaped movement pattern allows it to attack squares that other pieces, like rooks or bishops, cannot reach. Yeah, but can you do it in the same move? Two squares in one direction, horizontally or vertically, and then one square perpendicularly. By strategically placing the knight, it can attack two different squares occupied by enemy pieces, forcing the opponent to make a difficult choice. But where is the... How does it go to two spaces? It's any situation where a piece simultaneously threatens two different squares. So... is it that you just put it in that position? Example, if a knight is positioned to attack both the king and the queen, the opponent is forced to move the king, potentially leaving the queen vulnerable to capture. So I guess it's, you're not actually attacking them at the same time. It's that you could potentially attack them because of where you have been positioned? Is that what it is? I don't know. You chess people, reach out to me. Explain this more to me. Did I get it right, or can you... No, you can't. You can't attack the king and the queen at the same time. The knight forked ya. It's gonna fork. Fork. Now I want a fork with like a knight on it or something. What's the knight fork? Is it the fork that the knights use? Why? Is it covered in armor? Maybe it's a fork covered in armor. All right. Forkful is a noun. I got a fork full of food, but the food falls off the fork. That's why a spoon is better. Okay, now we look at the etymology and there's really nothing. So I'm assuming that all of these words just mean fork. We got Middle English fork, Old English forca, Anglo-French fork, and then Latin forca. So they just must mean fork, I guess. I don't know. I was hoping it to be more interesting than that, which is very sad. All right, let's go on to our last word. It's the second form of fork. Verb from the 15th century, starting with intransitive. Number one, to divide into two or more branches, as in where the road forks. The road is forking. the road forked and I don't know where to go. Number 2A, to use or work with a fork. To use a fork, do something with a fork. You are forking your food when you're scooping it, when you're stabbing it, when you're eating it. You're forking your food. Can you please stop forking with your food and just play with it already? In this household, we play with our food. We don't fork it. Number 2B, to turn into a fork. Ooh, I have turned into a fork. I am now a fork. I guess if you create branches in a thing or create prongs, then you have forked that thing. What can you turn into a fork? I guess my hand. I can go boo like this, and now I have forked my hand. Transitive, number 1. To give the form of a fork to, very similar to turn into a fork. I'm going to give you the form of a fork. The example is, oh, forking her fingers. That's what I did. I just spread my fingers out and I forked my fingers. Ooh, look at that. I forked my fingers. Number 2, to attack simultaneously. And the example is, or the thing that is being attacked is two chessmen. But again, how do you attack two at the same time? I don't get it. Number 3, to raise, pitch, dig, or work with a fork, as in 4K. There we go. We got the farming example in there. Gotta go fork my hay today. The horses, they need their forked hay. They're not gonna eat if they don't get forked hay. Number 4, the synonyms are pay and contribute. And this is used with the words over, out, or up, as in had to fork over $5,000. Is that because they did not forgive your debt? You owed them $5,000, so you had to fork it over. Fork over. I got to fork out. Fork up. Fork it up. Give me that money. Fork it up. I got it. I gotta need it. Why fork became used in this way, I don't understand. Fork over. Can you please stab your stacks of money with your fork and hand them to me, and then I shall eat them off of your fork. Forker is a noun. The one who is doing the forking. Okay, there is no additional etymology, so that means we now must pick a word of the episode. Today we had forgetful, forgetive, forget-me-not, forgettable, forging, forgive, forgiveness, forgiving, forgo, forgotten man, for instance, forint, fork, and fork. I don't know. I guess probably got to pick, is it forgiving, forgiveness? Forgiving? Sure, forgiving. Let's pick forgiving as the word of the episode. I'm feeling very forgiving. You don't owe me a dollar. I'm feeling very forgiving, but you owe me $2. Whatever, that's fine. Okay, I don't have another movie to tell you about. I'm so very sad about that. Anything else I can tell you about? I don't know. I don't think so. Life is going... I'm surprised these side lights didn't stop. I thought they were going to die on me. I got to charge them. That's what I'm going to do as soon as I stop recording. You can think about that. You can think about these charging lights when I'm done. This is the end of the episode. Thank you for checking it out. And until next time, please forgive me. Don't make me a forgotten man. This has been Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye. Nyang, nyang.